Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. We've all had embarrassing moments. So, Mindy, how bad could it be?
So I went to the store. I wasn't thrilled about this. And I got adult diapers. And it wasn't pleasant. I put on the diaper. You know, it's not uncomfortable. But, you know, your ass gets very Kardashian-like.
Okay, this is potentially pretty bad.
This guy pulls up. Now, he's a dad at the school that I've known for years. And he's actually a very, very successful male model. And he's not a kid. You know, he's older. He's like a Pierce Brosnan type. Or if that most interesting man in the world were good looking, he's like that. And whenever I see him through the years, I admit I get flustered because he's so handsome and he's so charming and elegant and all this. I'm so nervous to be with him. And I'm like, please, God, just don't crap the pants. Just don't do that.
Today on Storyworthy, comedian Mindy Rickles talks about an excruciatingly embarrassing moment outside of her son's school. Stay close.
Hey, it's Mindy Rickles, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Malibu, California. You guys know how much I love Malibu, right? Because I dated a couple of guys out here, and you know, it turns out it wasn't even them that I was interested in. It was this town. It was this city. So it was a delight to drive over here today and meet with my guest, Mindy Rickles. Now, I am so glad you guys tuned in today, whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener. Welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with New York's premier storyteller, Gail Thomas, called From Lawyer to Comic. And just like the title says, you know, Gail was a lawyer and she gave it all up to become a comedian. So it's actually a very inspiring story. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to that. But not now, because I came out to Malibu to meet with Mindy Rickles, and she is just such an amazing talent, you guys. She was on Shotgun Storyworthy recently. And in fact, the episode should be up by now. You'll have to give that a listen. And she just has so many funny, funny stories. And today she brings forth the topic, embarrassed. Embarrassed. And who hasn't been embarrassed? I mean, this is a pretty general topic. I'm surprised, actually, that we haven't had this on Storyworthy before. But we haven't. So here we are. Recently, I mean, I've been embarrassed so many times. But the most recent time was when I heard my daughter tell somebody on the playground that we were there in the morning, and she said, my mom drinks beer in the morning all the time. And I was like, Alabama, what are you talking about? Why did you tell Layla I drink beer? And she says, because I see you drinking beer. And I say, what? And I start thinking, I'm drinking Red Bull. And she thought Red Bull was a type of beer. Now that wasn't a big deal because it was in front of a 9-year-old. You know, that's not too big of a deal. But obviously we all get embarrassed all the time. Recently, I wore my slippers to tennis. You can't do that. You can't wear your slippers to tennis. And so, you know, it happens. What are you going to do? And it's not that it doesn't happen all the time, but those are just the two things that occur to me. And I texted my sister and I said, can you remember any embarrassing times, you know, for me? And she couldn't, because like we were talking earlier, you know, we don't remember anything anymore. As I get older, I forget things. But she did mention a time that when she was in college, and I've actually told this story briefly on the show before, when my sister was in college, she was in this theater group, and it was the night of the show, and it was a 3-act play, and somebody in the first act threw my sister a line, and my sister said the line from the 3rd act, and
oh
the
my
whole
God.
Play ended. So the play was like 20 minutes instead of an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
The play was over. So that was a very embarrassing moment. But like I said, for me, as I sit here and talk with Mindy today, if anything occurs to me, I'll let you know then. But here's something I'm not embarrassed about anymore. I'll tell you this. And that is cooking. Because I found Sunbasket. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, Mindy, sunbasket.com.
Not this one.
But this is an amazing meal service that sends you organic foods that fit any kind of diet that you're on, right? So if it's gluten-free or vegetarian or paleo, they've got family options. They send you these amazing seasonal and nutritious meals with these beautiful little cookbooks that have awesome pictures, and they show you how to make the meal step by step in 30 minutes or less. So, like, for instance, last night I made these steak fajitas with a cucumber radish salsa.
Nice.
I know, because wow. See, before, I wouldn't have even been able to, like, say the title of that
right
dish.
It's very fancy.
It's very fancy, unless you're in a restaurant,
right?
Then you
course.
Might see steak fajitas with cucumber radish salsa,
right?
But now it's in my own kitchen, and when I finish a meal, Mindy, it looks just like the picture.
Wow.
That's, I know,
you're like Jada De Laurentiis. I don't know if I said that right, but
I think you did, but okay. I don't know who it is.
So. Oh, she's a very famous female chef. Ooh. like Ina Garten, you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, look at you. Okay, you're really a great chef. All right.
I don't know a lot about cooking, but I will say that when I'm cooking with like Sunbasket ingredients
right.
and everything's laid out in front
of me. I know, it's so
and
easy.
And everything's laid out in front of me, right.
Because I'm very lazy.
I feel like if there were cameras above me, I could right. do like a demonstration.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
My hands are making it all
right,
happen.
Right,
and then I have like little dishes set out with like, oh, that's
right.
just my chives.
A pinch of that, right, right.
Oh, that.
That you grew for yeah. 12 years in the garden and in your house in Italy. Right.
That's just some chives I just cut up
right.
a little earlier. You know,
right.
whatever. Anyway, it's a lot of fun, and you guys are really going to love it. And if you go over to sunbasket.com/storyworthy right now, you will get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/storyworthy and get $35 off your first order. sunbasket.com/storyworthy. And send me a picture, would you? I like that when people send me pictures of
oh, yeah.
what you cooked. It's kind of fun.
Especially if you did a better job than they did. That's how I look at it, because it's all about me.
All right, you guys, I'm so excited that Mindy's here today. We're going to get right to her story. But before we do, I wanted to remind you guys to go over to storyworthypodcast.com. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to stop it right there, because apparently some people are getting a little ticked off that I have to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram and all those things. So I'm not going to say it anymore. Boom, the website. Boom, I'm done. See? All right. You guys, Mindy Rickles is here right now. She's a comedian and an actress, and she was featured in Jeff Garlin's Dealing with Idiots. And she's also in the upcoming Paramount production, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Castle. Plus, you've seen Mindy on The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, and she performs stand-up all around the country. And also, she performs at the Laugh Factory here in Southern California. So she's just out and about, and she's just so much fun. Find her over on Twitter, at Mindy Rickles. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for the one and only Mindy Rickles.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you. I just now figured out that I got to keep my eyes over the microphone so I can see you. Mm. Otherwise, it's like I'm on a ship and I'm sort of behind, you know, not like at the captain's table. But now I realize if I lift my eyes over this microphone, I'm now able to see you. So that was just something that, you know, I didn't know how to do. But now I figured it out. So thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. So, Okay, now I'm going to start my story. Okay. So now I'm going to start my story. Okay, so I've heard your show before. Everyone has wonderful stories. Probably my story is, you know, not as eloquent and not as poetic as some other stories, but it sort of goes with a big theme in my life, which is embarrassment and being humiliated and devastated on a regular basis. I try to be more of an upbeat person, but it doesn't happen really. So a lot of things turn out, you know, for me in not a positive way. So a few months back, I woke up one morning and suddenly, you know, I'm not like an athletic type, but, you know, I'm okay health-wise. And suddenly, like, I couldn't really feel my legs and my feet were like stone. So I immediately went to worst case scenario. I have a certain type of MS from, you know, a foreign country that only ended maybe the disease in the 1920s, but it's come back now just for me. I like dragged my body out of bed. I was panicking and sweating because I always go to the worst thing. And my husband's like, you need to calm down, because he's complete opposite of me. And he's like a Valium, very relaxed. And I was very frightened. So I called my doctor and I went in and with it, which was fun because it's like a combo meal. The day after, I suddenly had no feeling in my legs and my feet. I got Bell's palsy, which I don't know if you know what that is, but the right side of my face was like hanging down to the floor. Now, I'm someone that prides myself on lifting, constantly lifting my face and having it lifted by whatever apparatus or whatever things are out there now. So that was a nice little extra present, you know, for the complete numbness I had in my legs and feet. So I went to the doctor. Turns out it was just this virus and it was going to go away. But, you know, it didn't give me a time frame. It could be a week. It could be 9 years. So I was a little worried. And during this time, he didn't tell me what some of the side effects of this would be. Now, I guessed this because figure if you don't have a lot of feeling in your legs and your feet are numb, think about where the legs go. Now, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but they go into, shall we say, you know, it all connects to the ass and that kind of area around that where, you know, our bowels work. So, you know, I felt, okay, this is going to go away. And then I'm sleeping in bed one night and suddenly I felt like, wow, I think I'm going to have an attack, some kind of the runs. So I get up to go to the bathroom like I normally would. And this is what I mean. Because I had this condition, it was almost like things were paralyzed, like the anal cavity. So I start walking the bathroom and I don't walk fast at this point. I walk like someone, you know, from an assisted living facility. And suddenly an explosion before I hit the toilet, which was upsetting and, you know, not great. So, and at my age, you know, things like that, it's kind of depressing. So then my husband's like, don't worry about it. And so I started to panic that this was going to happen, you know, on a regular basis while I'm out or taking my kids to school, et cetera. So I went to the store. I wasn't thrilled about this. And I got, and they're so glamorous, you know, adult diapers. And it wasn't pleasant. I put on the diaper, you know, it's not uncomfortable, but, you know, your ass, it gets very Kardashian-like with the cushy and the, you know, there's a lot of dimpling and all this, and it's not a great feeling. So anyway, I started walking around in the diaper because I was worried all the time that I could have an explosion, you know, God knows where, I could be on stage and have an explosion. So that was not a good thing. So anyway, I used to, you know, during the day, and like you said, it's Malibu and it's LA, so I'm not a person that really is into exercise in any way, shape, or form. I do it a little, but I always want to look like I'm exercising. I always wear workout clothes every day. So people think, you know, she's a trainer, but why she has all that back fat, we're not sure. So I wear, you know, biking pants and a t-shirt. Like, oh, I just came from the gym, and God, I'm on my way to my yoga and the Bikram sweating, you know, whatever, safari class that I'm doing. And I teach when I'm not home, I teach, which, you know, if you saw me, you would be, because I literally, you know, if you sent me to a yoga class, my neck and my boobs would be like attached and my left foot would be around my neck. And then I have a hump on my back. So that would be hanging over. So I don't love yoga. But anyway, so I always wear the workout clothes. So my son goes to this private school. You know, it's like one of these fancy private schools, just because I think it makes me look good to people. Like, oh, she does well because her son goes to this school. So anyway, my son was in this play at the school. Actually, it was Shrek. And they had rehearsals, you know, like they were going to Broadway. So they had rehearsals for like 15 months, you know, 17 hours a day. Because, you know, they're all going to be stars one day. You know, and you love when the ones that are really bad, like they say, the sun and the sky. Oh, he's wonderful. What a singer. You know when parents do that about their kids. But no, this was a good show. But anyway, I had to pick him up every day. And he was, you know, a senior. And I had to pick him up every day after these rehearsals, you know, after these three-hour rehearsals. So sometimes it'd be like at 5 o'clock. I would get there maybe a little bit early. And I would sit in the parking lot and wait. So one day I went and I got on the phone on my phone in the car to a very close girlfriend of mine. We were just going to chat. You know, I had her on speakerphone. Now, as I'm chatting with her, this guy pulls up. Now, he's a dad at the school that I've known for years. And he's actually a very, very successful male model. And he's not a kid. You know, he's older. He's like a Pierce Brosnan type. Or if that most interesting man in the world were good looking, he's like that. And so I said to Sophie, and whenever I see him through the years, I admit I get flustered because he's so handsome and he's so charming and elegant and all this. So now I'll preface this by saying he hadn't seen me in a couple of years because we left the school and I had lost some weight. Because at one point I decided, you know what, let me just blow up like a balloon and gain 20 pounds just for fun. So by this time, though, I'd lost the weight and he hadn't seen me in a couple of years. But, you know, I go to the school to pick up my son. I'm wearing, you know, my workout pants and a t-shirt like I always do. I got that diaper on, you know, it's all padded and gushy, but it's there. And then I'm wearing no makeup and I'm wearing big sunglasses and like a floppy hat. So, you know, because I'm very well known, I don't want anyone to recognize me. And I also look like, you know, one of the Manson girls before they were arrested. So he pulls up next to me and I'm on the phone with Sophia, my girlfriend, on the speakerphone. And I go, oh, God, here's John, you know, the model. And she knew all about him. I said, oh, you know, he's always like so adorable and looks perfect. And I said, I'm sure he'll just come over the car window and say hi and then get back in his car, even though there's no one there. And like I said, I had the hat on, the glasses, but no makeup in the outfit. So he hadn't seen me in a while. And he comes, he pulls up next to me. And I thought, you know, just be like, hi, Mindy. He's very friendly. But he decides this will be fun to get out of the car and like rest his head on the passenger window, you know, like, I don't know, Mr. Rogers giving me a morning greeting, like really in the car basically with me. Now, my girlfriend is on the speakerphone and she knows all about him. And she's always like a roll your eyes. Like if I say, you know, Sophia, I just performed at Carnegie Hall to 7,000 people and they were screaming with laughter. She'd be like, I'm thrilled. Like that. Like she doesn't really care that much. So anyway, he comes over the car. Now, I have her on the speakerphone because I said, oh, well, here he comes. So I said, don't say anything. So he comes over and he like places his head on the window and he goes, hi, how are you? And then he goes, oh, my God. Now, he hasn't seen me in a while since I lost the weight. You look incredible. Are you not the sexiest? And he's married, you know, but are you not the sexiest thing I've ever seen? You are so hot. And I like want to press my finger on my ass like, I'm hot, you know, and I'm wearing the adult diaper. And he's like, you look sexy as hell. And you are gorgeous. Now, I'm getting like sweating profusely and flustered. I'm like, oh, John, stop it. John, please, you're embarrassing me. No, I can't. I mean, I don't even know what to say. You're the hottest thing I've ever seen. I'm like, John, please, I'm so old. You look like you're 20 years younger. I can't say. Now, Sophia is on the speakerphone and I'm sweating and I'm like, John, stop it. And I'm worried that Sophia's going to like cough or go, is this about it? Can we, you know, and I don't want him to know that she's there. It's mortifying. Like, oh, like I'm 16 and you're listening in with me with the supermodel. So I just decide at this point, you know, I'm so flustered. My fingers are clammy. I just press, you know, the off button and just take her off. So I've hung up on her and I'm thinking, don't even call back at this point. So he's going on and I'm like, oh, stop it, John. And it's still, we got like half an hour before these kids come out. Now, I'm wearing the diaper, so now I'm nervous, right? And I don't have much control of my bowels. And he's telling me I'm sexy and hot, and meantime, I'm like a paraplegic, which I love paraplegics, but, you know, sexy isn't the first thing you think of. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I've been feeling great, whatever. And at this point, I'm so flustered, I'm really worried that I may have an explosion of my bowels because I'm so nervous to be with him. And I'm like, please, God, just don't crap the pants. Just don't do that while he's talking to me and I'm so sexy and wonderful. So my purse is sitting next to me. It's a very large open bag. And, you know, I felt every day that I wore the diaper, better keep a second one handy just in case I'm out somewhere, I have an explosion, and I need to change my diaper. You know, I can't put myself in the restroom at the gas station, get on that little kid's pad that they put and powder myself down. You know, I got to have that other diaper ready to go. So I was keeping it in my purse all the time, but, you know, nobody's looking in my purse. It's a large, very large diaper. So all of a sudden, the kids come out of the rehearsal. And John, like I said, he's a funny guy, whatever. And the kids, they're 17 at the time, they love him. And he all of a sudden thinks it would be really funny. He has no idea what's in my purse. To grab my purse, like, haha, I'm stealing your purse, and run across the parking lot with it. So the kids will be like, oh, he's so funny. And look, haha, he stole Mindy's purse. So he grabs my purse. I'm trying to control my bowels. I'm tightening my anus as much as possible. It's like I never did that. Not Heimlich. What's it called? The other thing where you tighten your ass when you meditate. I forgot. Look, I called it Heimlich. A Heimlich maneuver in my ass. Okay, that's menopause. So I'm trying to do a Heimlich. You know what I'm talking about. Whatever that thing is. Kankle? Or Kankles. I have Kankles on my ankles. Kegel. Okay. So Kegel. I'm calling it a Heimlich on the ass. It's Kegels. I'm trying to do a Kegel, which I never did because you heard before yoga. I'm horrible and the hump doesn't help. So I'm trying to just tighten that ass because I think I'm going to have an explosion or, God forbid, a nice big fart right then in front of him and I'll be mortified. So he grabs the bag, lifts it out of the car and starts running across the parking lot. And I'm looking at him like, I want to kill myself right now. Put me back in the camps. I know that's inappropriate, but I was just like, this is so horrific. I'm so mortified. There's a huge diaper right at the top of that. I'm like, he's going to run across that yard. The diaper's going to fall out. All these cute 17-year-old kids are going to be like, what the hell is that? His illusion of me being, you know, his Cindy Crawford at 90 years old is going to be gone. And I'm going to look at him and what am I going to say? Oh, that's my mom's. You know, I don't have an answer for him. So I'm just mortified. He comes back. I couldn't believe it. The diaper, he didn't see it, thank God. And I swear to God, my kid almost came in. I rushed out of that car to the bathroom and just explosion, like Katrina meets Harvey, beyond. And so the sexy, gorgeous gal was, you know, not as sexy as she was before.
Okay, how was your health?
My health is good now. It's much better. I have complete control of my anal cavity and my bowels.
Now, when did you get to the doctors? I mean, in other words, what wouldn't...
It stopped. It just... Nobody told me that, but I'm guessing because of feeling like having very little feeling in my legs. And a fun thing also that during this time, I would fall sometimes, like in the street, and like no one would help me. And it was like, you know, I fall and I can't... I'd be like, help me, you know, and people would be like, oh, you know, they would
get
just walk by. Once or twice, yeah. So it made me feel great, but...
Wouldn't Imodium AD clear that up? In other words, you know, like something over the counter to make you stop going diarrhea.
Yes. I did try, you know, a couple of things, but it was, you know, it only happened, you know, a couple of times during my worst period where I really couldn't feel hardly anything. It was like just not being able to get there in time. But, you know, it did go away, thank God. Otherwise, right now, you would have to have like a little bucket next to me. And, you know,
you would.
Right.
Now, what about the Bell's palsy?
I know. That went away very quickly, which I was thrilled because I thought that could go on for years or you never get your face back. For some reason, that came back quickly. The feet thing I let go for like 10 days and then I went on steroids. So when I went on the steroids, as soon as I got the Bell's palsy, although now whenever I feel the slightest twitch, which I can I immediately think I'm getting Bell's palsy again, which I haven't. But it's like when, you know, the first time I had sex, it's like the second we were done, I'm pregnant with triplets, you know, so it's like this concept of, it, you know, I'm going to get it again.
How old were you when you first had sex?
Oh, I was like 46. No.
I was
very old. I was like 19.
Because by then you should have known that it can't.
Well, I know, but
happen,
I always thought, but I was very naive and I was raised where my mother said, you know, your father and I, and oh, there you were.
Yeah.
So there was no, you know, real discussion about it. So I just, I just assumed I'm pregnant every single time. Even if I like, you know, was on the pill and swaddled myself in a latex, you know, goat skin glove and put something, you know, wrapped the guy in saran wrap, I'm pregnant with triplets and I'm going to have to raise them. I'm going to go live in a motel on Hollywood Boulevard with a dirty stained slip with lipstick on it. And I'm on a million pills and I'm hooking on the side. I go right to worst case scenario.
I see. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. It's like,
do you feel like that the other shoe is going to drop at
always
any minute? Interesting.
Always.
Yeah.
It seems like the opposite of you because you seem like a very bubbly, upbeat person. And so it must be, you know, I'm sure... It's like jarring with me because
it's not jarring. I don't know you that well. No, I don't know you that well. But
right.
Let me real quick get back to the diarrhea.
Yes.
No, I had Bell's palsy when I was pregnant. Hmm. And it was like a gestational, I'm not sure what it would, diabetes, I think. I'm not sure exactly, but it gave me Bell's palsy where, I was drooling out of the side of my mouth.
Yeah, a lot of things can.
And it lasted like 3 months. It's very upsetting.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
No, I was lucky. It was like gone after a week. I mean, 90% gone.
Yeah.
But I still might have, you know, sometimes I'll feel a little twitch, but it's nothing. It hasn't come back.
But you look like you're in great shape. You don't look like you don't exercise.
No, I exercise. I mean, we happen to have a bike here at my house, so I get on that occasionally. I used to do SoulCycle, which I think might have contributed to the neuropathy because I was on my toes. I mean, I have some kind of a back issue too, but that was the only exercise I didn't hate because I could sit in the back.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to like move. I could be at the lowest level on the bike. And nobody really noticed. But no, I've always hated exercise, any movement beyond like sitting in a chair and having, you know, a martini is really a lot for me.
Let me ask you, at that school, are there famous parents there of kids, as it were?
I mean, there have been through the years. I'm trying to think because it's a very small school. Actually, James Gandolfini, his son went there.
No kidding.
And he was just an amazing guy.
Everybody says he was an amazing
person. Sweetest, kindest, and just an amazing dad. And
I've heard that. Uh-huh. Really gentle man. Actually, I was watching The Sopranos last night because our internet went out for like 6 hours.
Oh, God.
And so I had to watch a DVD like an animal, and I was watching The Sopranos. So
oh, yeah, that was an amazing show.
You know, you're talking about that dad and how good-looking he is. Mm-hmm. There's a guy in my apartment complex who is a commercial actor and happens to be that good-looking.
Right.
And it is always a little jarring to see, because it's just kind of like, ding, like he's like so good-looking.
And this guy's so charming, and he's in his 50s. You know, he's not like a young kid. And he's still like,
so often men get better looking,
don't
they?
I know, isn't that true?
It is. It's very true. I've heard you on a couple of other podcasts, and you and I have a lot of similarities. First of all, we're the same age.
Right.
And I think we just kind of grew up, our parents of the same generation.
Yes.
You know, now your dad just passed just 4 or 5 months ago.
Right, he did.
And so, I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Growing up as his daughter, you know, I interviewed Kelly Carlin before, and I know a couple of other people with, you know, famous comedian parents, and that, do you think that made you funnier?
You know, I think I've always been very similar to him. It wasn't like, I would never be like, oh, you know, stand-up looks fun, let me try that. It was just, I kind of fell into it, but we were always very similar, and he used to say, this is why men don't date you, you know, because you're very insulting and aggressive, you know, whatever, like he is. But he was always like, oh, you think you're as funny as me? You know, so he was definitely, you know, the center of attention. But I was always funny in a way similar to him. And my mother said things like, we would always be in Las Vegas and in the summers, and, you know, when he would work in the hotels. And then when we moved into a house or something in LA, I was like 3 years old, and my mother said, and you said, Mindy, where's the lobby? Because I was so used to living in a hotel. So, you know.
That
and
is
that sounds
so
very
adorable.
Glamorous, but it's not.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's all you knew.
Right.
It was what you grew up with.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Kind of being on the road. Did you have to have a tutor on the road? Or
did have a tutor, but not with me. Like, if I was in Las Vegas, this, like, 99-year-old woman used to come to the house, Mrs. Peterson. And it was like she could bear, is she going to make it to the desk or is she going to pass on before she does the math assignment with me?
Oh, my gosh.
But I do remember that, and I used to, like, sometimes they would let me, when I was very little, like at the Sahara Hotel, walk around like I was a waitress in the coffee shop with like a little name tag.
That is so adorable. So they like took you under their wing.
Yeah. And
they say, there's little Mindy Rickles.
Right.
Yeah. Her
right.
dad, Don's in the showroom
exactly.
tonight. And then would you go to the pool? That must have been
fun. Yes. I would go to the pool, and I loved going to the pool. Again, these are our old references because my favorite show was Vegas. And I loved when, in the old days, when they used to like, you know, on, I want to say the intercom, and that's not what it is. Oh, it's like someone, it's like I have dementia. At the pool, when they...
the cabana?
No, when they say they don't do it anymore. Like, paging Dan Tana.
Oh, yeah,
telephone,
sure.
please.
Sure,
Dan
sure, sure.
Tana. Like, I love that. And I would sometimes, like, make that call so they could say that at the pool. Dan Tana, telephone, please. Dan Tana. Things like that.
That's a big deal.
So I love Vegas in the old days when, I mean, I didn't do it, but, you know, my mother would get dressed up every night and go to the show and... You know, it was
who
like...
Who waited with you in the room? Who was with
you? Oh, I had like a nanny, very fancy. I had somebody, you know, that was with us that...
Your brother too, Larry,
yes,
was with you?
Yes.
Were you lonely or did you guys have each other?
No, I think I was lonely. It was like, you know, we would stay... I mean, oftentimes we would stay in a house. You know, I had swimming lessons and sometimes people would come. And actually, Bob Newhart, you know, who was my dad's best friend, so he would sometimes be
That's
working
wonderful.
In Vegas. So their kids who I grew up with... I'm still very close to, they would be there, so I would see them then. But it's not like I had friends, like we went to Vegas, oh, my friend so-and-so who, you know, necessarily lives there. So,
and you couldn't be like on a team or in any of the clubs at school. I'm thinking
well,
of my daughters.
Well, I did do tennis there.
Okay,
I joined. I was part of there was some club and I played tennis and I, you know, like I said, I'm not athletic, but for some reason, you know, my mother wanted me to do all the things you should do. She, like my dad, like threw a racket in my hand. You're playing tennis. You know, it was just like decided that was the sport. So I did that. And I remember.
Well, in the '70s, it was so.
Oh,
hot.
It was. It was huge.
I mean, it was
That's
just
right.
Huge. It
That's
was
right.
like tennis and downhill.
All right.
Skiing.
Let's not make us look how seventies. We're more a little eighties. Okay. Let's not
no,
go
I'm
in the fifties when we grew up.
In
no, I know what you're saying.
School. I mean,
well,
that
it's
was
very
it.
Weird because you know I'm so obsessed with the '70s, and I don't even know why the music. The movies, everything from the set. And sometimes, like I said, I'll make references on stage to things And the audience, you know, if they're 19, you know, they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
But if I say, you know, these guys are toothless, you look like, you know, the cast of Deliverance, they don't know what that is.
They would never have that
right,
reference.
Exactly.
No. Now, I was thinking about the 70s and, you know, again, we're the same age and coming home from school and what we would watch on TV. And these are all the shows your dad was in. And this is exactly what I would watch, like Gomer Pyle, the Beverly Hillbillies, the Munsters, Andy Griffith, Gilligan's Island, the Lucy Show, I Dream of Jeannie. So were you watching those shows too?
Well, yeah, I watched. I mean, when my dad was on them, you know, I was so little. I was like 4 years old and stuff. He did a lot of those shows, 5 years old, when I was very young.
And but then the repeats.
Yes, but, you know, I'd like to say, oh, I love to watch my dad's shows or when he was on. No.
Interesting.
It was just like, oh, it's my dad, you know, I don't need to see that. And he'd be like, did you see me on that show? Was I funny? Did you laugh? You know, and I would watch it because he would ask me like on, you know, talk shows. But no, I did love all of those shows, you know, Gilligan's Island. And then in the 80s, Love Boat.
Yeah.
And Charlie's Island. Angels. I mean, I'm going to say it now. I'm not embarrassed that on my ringtone, it's the theme to the Rockford Files.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I liked more of the dramatic kind of shows.
And so you liked that show Vegas with, Dan Tana.
And I got to meet him once, in Vegas, and that was like a thrill. Thank God I didn't have the anal problem then or I would have crapped.
Wait a minute. Who was that? Was that Robert Blake? Yeah,
no.
No, that there was Beretta.
No, that was, no, it, Rob, and he, the killer. No, it was, oh my
and
God.
That murder.
Who is it? I love him.
Dan
and Tana. He died. Oh, this is the part that kills me.
Yeah.
I forgot. But Robert,
do you remember the medical center? That was a big one.
I didn't watch that though. That was before my time, but since we're the same age, I can't. But I didn't watch it.
You remember Room 222?
Vaguely. I mean, you're talking now like a 60-year-old. I mean, that's really. I barely watched that.
Well, you know,
I mean,
what?
I used to watch like what was the Red Fox show?
I think it was called the Red Fox Show.
Okay, what about the show Old Man and the Hispanic Guy?
Sanford and Son.
See how this is like a game, Shanana? This is a show like in the 70s, $20,000 period. $20,000 pyramid where I would say to you, knives, forks, Christine, you'd say, things in a drawer. So this is what we're doing now. We're doing like you said to me, I said the Old Man and the Hispanic Guy. And you went Sanford and Son because I have no memory and I'm in menopause. I can't remember Dan Tan. I'm calling him like a character, like I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and I just came out on a Hollywood tour. There's Dan Tana because I can't remember his real name, who I loved, who I wanted to be married to growing up.
Now, listen, I've heard you on another podcast talking about, you know, when you would meet a guy, you would, if they liked you, it didn't matter if you liked them. If they liked you, you know, you would just be with them. Mm-hmm. I heard you say something to the effect of, all I have to do is go out with someone that's arrogant and treats me badly a couple of times, and I'm madly in love. I'm obsessed with that person, and I can't function.
Right. That's so true. Any guy that was nice to me, which my husband was, and that's why for years I was like, get away from me. Because I met him years before, and he was really nice. And then 4 years later, I met him again, or my friend said, oh, he still likes you. So I was like, okay, fine. But he was too nice. I liked guys that were, you know, kind of cold, very slick, like, you know, what's his name? Mr. Big from like Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. So I liked that kind of guy. And any guy that, you know, wasn't very nice, if they walked, you know, 10 feet ahead of me and I had to run and go, wait for me. You know, that's the kind of thing I just thought, you know, wow.
And
I'm so thrilled to be with him because I have very, very low self-esteem.
But isn't that also because you're trying to repeat something from childhood and correct it?
Yes. I mean, probably.
So if you didn't get the attention that you needed.
Right. I mean, you know, like you said, when or
your
you
comfort
know,
level
obviously
is not
if
being...
your parents a star, you know, everyone focuses on them and you know, it's totally different dynamic than growing up where, you know, my dad, as my mother said, works in a butcher shop, you know, and my mother does it. So it's like a completely different dynamic when you have whether a father or mother that's like a star.
But that being said, like my father was just an accountant at a university and my father had some ego to him, mm-hmm. and he never wanted six kids, and he didn't care about us at all. I mean, he cared about us, but he didn't, you know, he didn't help us with homework, or he didn't, you know, he
wasn't
involved.
Well, I don't think years ago, how many dads really helped with home? I mean, nowadays they're involved.
On the scale of it, I got ignored. That's my point. You know, just he wasn't a star, but I still got ignored big time because he didn't want to be in that father role.
Right.
And so then, you know, I've, you know, through therapy and, you know, of course we're old now, you know, it's kind of come around to that there is a point, especially in women who didn't get everything they needed as children or as teenagers, that they fall for those guys who are gonna give them that challenge, because that's really the sweet spot.
No, I agree. I mean, definitely my father was always really proud of me, you know, and the fact that I was funny like he was, and he loved to say, look at her, you know, if someone said, oh, she's prettier, I made that, not bad, right? You know, he was very proud of look how funny she is, or look how pretty, or, you know, so he was always, you know, proud of me. But we had a different kind of a life. It wasn't like he went to the office from 9 to 5, you know, he worked at night and he'd get back at like 3 a.m. and he'd sleep in, you know, it was like Elvis as my father, but not doing as many drugs.
Yeah. And not the jungle room.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you ended up with your husband, Jim, who
Ed. Okay, see, now let me go back. Let me just go back for a minute. Earlier I was like, wow, Christine, you know, your voice, everything is so perfect, and you look like, you know, an Adonis as a woman. And your husband, Frederick, I noticed, and she's met him like, no, she only met him once before. But now I don't feel bad about Dan Tana.
I've only met him twice, but my point is he seems very down to earth kind and wonderful.
Beyond. All my friends are like, I wish I had an Ed.
Exactly. And so
and I pay him well.
At the end of the day, Mindy, you made an amazing choice, the right choice.
Right.
And so you didn't follow that impulse to go with guys who aren't good for you.
That's true. I mean, a lot of these guys, like I said, I dated in my mid-20s, and one of them maybe said, I want to marry you, I might have said yes. I hope I wouldn't, but I was so young. You know, I met Ed when I was almost 29. So I'd already gone through those guys, but I admit he wasn't a slick guy and he wasn't my type. And when, you know, people say, how did you guys meet? And I'm like, you know, he really wasn't for me physically. And he's like, all right, you tell this story. Can you stop? Because I'm always like, I'm still not into him. But, you know, there was nobody else. Because I liked a stocky, dark guy, and Ed's like long and thin and he's got like these sort of hooded eye. People think he's Asian and he's actually Jewish. And sometimes he'll be out and they'll be like, hi, troll, you know.
But I thought he was Asian. I thought he had some Asian.
Yeah,
in him.
See? Oh, that is so funny. Absolutely not. Because his eyes are hooded. And as he ages, now they're just little slits like a flesh and you just see a little bit of a pupil.
Yeah, you can get blepharoplasty for that. It's like
all right. Well, I just want him to do like a little laser, but he can't be bothered. But now he's only like 9 years older than me. But I'm like I might have said the other night, when I go to clubs, you know, everyone's very young and I'm like 40 years older than everyone. And I'm like, to Ed, you know, step back. I don't want, you know, it's one thing that I brought you, my grandfather, with me tonight. I'm like, color your hair. He just did that because I'm like, you know, as I'm doing laser and looking younger and younger, you're starting to look like you're 40 years older than me. Are you wealthy? Because if you're very wealthy, that explains it. But you're not that wealthy. So now it's like, what, I just chose to marry an old guy with, it's half Asian,
Mindy,
you know.
At the end of the day, you have avoided 2, 3, 4 divorces.
That's true. I know. I would have had, I would have married that guy at 23. I would have like a 20-year-old. And that guy, I think, has been married like 3. He happens to be, hurts me, like a billionaire now. But he has been married like 2 or 3 times. So I know I would be like, when I met him, he was already divorced. So I would be number 2 with this grown kid. And I'm sure, you know, again, it would be hard. He wouldn't pay the alimony. Next thing I know, I'm on Hollywood Boulevard in a motel with that slip with the dirty and the lipstick and my extensions hanging down because I can't afford to get them weaved back in.
No, wait a second. Do you really get extensions in your hair?
Yeah, I mean, now my hair looks awful and they need to be lifted. But yes, as I've aged, my hair just
gets... You can't tell at all.
Well,
really?
Right now they're really long. They need to... Well, my hair's not done now, so it's like a frizz. I have like that real Jewish hair that, you know, and in the 80s, I did every single thing. Well, I wanted to look like Linda Evans, that hair.
Oh, yeah,
so I did the straightening.
Everybody wanted to look like her.
And then I wanted to look like from Dallas when she had the short hair on the sides. Linda Gray.
Oh, Linda Gray, yeah.
So I did that style and I did the Dorothy Hamill with the bump. But I always had the frizzy hair. so it never laid correctly in the wind and things like that.
Well, these extensions look wonderful because I never would have guessed that.
Oh, well, thank you. Huh, they should be. They're $79,000 an extension piece, and I'm wearing 14.
Listen, we gotta wrap it up in a second, but I also heard you mention that you grew up part-time. Some of the time growing up was in Beverly Hills.
Yes, I grew up in Beverly Hills.
And that wasn't glamorous at all. People think that it is and
no,
it isn't.
No, it wasn't, please. I mean, people think, oh, you know, it wasn't. I mean, you know, we lived in a very nice house. And as my mother, who I call Mrs. Helmsley, you know, she always loved having her staff. I mean, yes, of course, it was a very comfortable life. But it's nothing like these kids today. I said these kids today who are, you know, oh, over the vacation, you know, I'm going on daddy's yacht to St. Bart's and let me take pictures of myself in my, you know, my Louboutins. And
well, it might have been happening, but we didn't have the social media to see it all.
Right. But I don't think they were. No, I had friends. I mean, growing up, my friends when I went to Westlake were Carol Burnett's daughter.
Interesting.
Dean Martin's daughter. And they, you know, they had nice things and they lived. But it wasn't like that. I mean, it's so different now with the show of, you know, the money and I don't know.
Yeah, my niece was in charge of her prom last year, a couple years ago, and the prom budget was $30,000.
Oh, please.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a dance.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably nothing. But to me, that was like,
well, now it's
what?
Like at these schools, you know, we're going to go on a trip to help the homeless in Ecuador. And you're going to go to a hut and say hello. And then we're going to go to the Four Seasons for, you know, the rest of the time. And then you'll go to the hut and say, bye, kids, you know, as we get back on the plane. And this is what, you know what my daughter did for this semester? She went to Ecuador and worked for the homeless. You know, it was $96,000. But oh, my God, she got a great touching those homeless people for a moment.
$6,000.
Yeah, and the school costs $180,000. But touching those homeless people, and then, of course, we get in a car, a van, and we go right back to the Four Seasons. You know, so those are all the experiences. My kids, like, laid on the couch. They said, I said, do you want to go to sleepaway camp? No. And I hated sleepaway camp, so I didn't force them. So when people say, or even nowadays, but oh, where are you going? You know, Christmas, we're going to our house in Aspen, and then we're going to Nicaragua and St. Bart's for a week. And I'm like, well, I spent my growing up in the summer in Atlantic City on the boardwalk, walking by the MGM with a woman laying with no arms and legs on a pad in front of the hotel playing the harmonica. So that was my glamorous childhood.
How did she hold the harmonica?
I guess in her mouth. In fact,
like
Howard Stern used to talk about it. He said, you know, throw yourself in a golf bag and come to New York and be on my show. But that was my glamorous childhood. The boardwalk
so
in Atlantic City, which I tried in my head to think was the south of France. You know, and I was at the Hotel Eden Rock. But no, it was Atlantic City. And if I weighed 220, I was the thinnest person in town.
Have you written a book?
No.
You should write some of this down, really, because these are such stark images. And especially Atlantic City, which is no more like what it was at all.
Yeah. I mean, even then, that was very cheesy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there was also a lot of glamour to it. I mean, there was something to
Atlantic
City.
Well, there was, you know, the hotel. There was this resorts hotel, which is where my dad did the shows, and they had nice restaurants. But I mean, the boardwalk, it was like, you know, really, I mean, taffy. I had to bring taffy. My mother's like, you're bringing taffy home to all your friends, you know? And I'm like, I don't like taffy. My friend, you're bringing taffy home.
I remember that beauty pageant they had on the Atlantic City boardwalk. That was always a big deal.
Oh, like the Miss America or something like that?
Yeah, it was always on the Atlantic
City boardwalk.
I don't know.
I just remember walking on the boardwalk, sometimes without shoes. Of course, I go to the worst thing. And my feet covered in splinters.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just hot. And, you know, the crowd was very much, you know, circus kind of a very, well, like the woman on the
circus
the bed.
People, yeah.
Yeah, very much, you know, like the two-headed, you know, bearded lady, that kind of thing.
See?
Which was my mother. No, I'm
sorry. Once you see all that, what would you be embarrassed about?
Right, that's true.
I
but it wasn't glamorous.
No,
yeah.
But it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I hope you write some of this down. You ought to. You've got a lot in you.
No, people say that, so.
Yeah, you should do that.
But wouldn't you rather hear a book about one of that Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Brandy? I mean, these books are so stupid. You know, they're on one show and then they do that and it's like.
Well, there's different audiences
right,
for different
of
people. And so, you know, that wouldn't be your audience.
No,
it's
obviously
a different...
not.
Listen, thank you so much for sharing the
thank
story.
Thank you, Christine. It was so
hilarious.
Much fun.
And again, thanks for coming on Shotgun Storyworthy at the Improv.
You.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was great.
All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Let Mindy know that you liked her story and tweet her over there on Twitter at Mindy Rickles. And of course, follow me too at Storyworthy. And join us next week on Storyworthy for television writer, director, and executive producer Ian Gervitz.
I remember one time this writer came in late during a rewrite of his episode. He asked what was going on. Somebody said, we're taking out your crappy jokes and putting in good ones.
Don't miss Ian Gervitz next week on Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer. And on behalf of one more time of the talented individuals, thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com. I'll keep you safe.